Hello, friends, and welcome to Grits in the Gospel. This is March 10th, the fourth Sunday of Lent. I hope that you are finding this Lenten season to be one of inspiration and of insight into your own journey to the cross and to Easter, and a time of reflection for you. I want to remind you on this podcast that we are doing a devotion at my church, a daily devotion called Lent in Plain Sight, a devotion through 10 objects. It is by Jill Duffield. My congregation has really loved it so far. And so when you hear me in my sermons refer to Jill, that is who I'm talking about. Last week, you may remember, was about coins. And this week is about shoes. So when you hear that in my sermon, that is what it's referring to. I am hopefully going to be recording several things to post during Holy Week. Maybe some readings and short devotions about the five objects that she has listed during that time. That is my plan. So I hope that you will stay on this journey with me through Lent. And, I am so thankful that you are here. Let us come together today in a posture of worship on this fourth Sunday of Lent. The Lord be with you and also with you. Today's epistle lesson comes from Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 10. Hear now the words of Paul to the people of Ephesus. You were dead through the trespass and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved by faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us now come together in the reciting of the Apostles' Creed. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we say the words of the Apostles' Creed and even the words of the gospel lesson today, John 3:16. We know it so well, we forget what it means. We forget to really listen to the words and live them out. Dear Lord, open our hearts and our minds to really hear the things that you would have us learn today. And never let us forget the words that your Son taught us to pray in your name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today's gospel lesson is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Hear these verses with fresh ears. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so may the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The Word of God, for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Shoes. Really, Jill? Shoes? Our Lenten devotion this week is focusing on shoes, and we have John 3:16 in the lectionary, which has nothing to do with shoes. At first, I thought about stealing from the devotion scriptures. I could and have preached many sermons on tying shoes, taking off shoes, worthy shoes. I could get behind a sermon about Acts 12:8. The angel said to him, "Fasten your belts and put on your sandals." It almost sounds like straighten your tiara and get your day started. That I can definitely do. But I'm not one to back down from a challenge. And it is always the sermons that I struggle with the most that bring the most growth and learning. So here goes nothing. I love shoes. I love all kinds of shoes. One of the saddest days of my life was the day my aunt called and told me she had taken another job and would no longer be working for Nine West. Turns out, I have the sample size foot, and she always got me the best Christmas and birthday gifts during those years. Those shoes were more for looks, though. Perching shoes, I like to call them. Ladies, we know what those are. Shoes that are only good for perching on a chair and not for real life. For real life, we need comfort. A good wedge or a sensible heel. But even those are not good for some situations. By my front door are two pairs of shoes. Flip-flops and muck boots. Both are good for running out the door in a hurry or going out to grab the mail. Each is best in certain situations. This week, with all of the rain, the muck boots have come in handy. Everyone, whether they are a believer or not, can quote John 3:16. Thanks to Tim Tebow, it was plastered on everyone's TV on Saturdays from 2006 to 2009. He wore the scripture in his eye black during Florida football games. Rarely, though, do we read around that one verse. And of course, when we do, Moses is handling snakes. It made me wonder if he needed a good pair of snake boots. Snake boots have a thick layer around the ankles and calves that protect people who walk through the woods and may step on a snake. Since snakes are my nemesis, I have snake boots. I used to walk in the woods more than I do now, but I would not go out in the summer in Georgia without a pair. We have to look back to Numbers 21 to see the full story of Moses and why the reference is here in John. Starting with verse 4. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against Moses and God. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpent from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. People were dying. People were being poisoned and dying. Moses prays for the poison that kills the Israelites to be taken away, but God gives another solution. You see, there will always be poisonous snakes in the world. There will always be things that bite us and harm us and poison us. What God does for Moses is give him instructions on how to save people from that venom. All they have to do is look up to the gift that God provides to live. Because life only returns to those who are willing to look at their death. And in the case of Moses and the people of Israel, it was looking at the thing that was causing their death. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. All we have to do is look up to see the Savior, just like the people of Israel had to look up to the God-given gift of the serpent to live. That's it. It's that simple. We may need snake boots to navigate this world, but all we have to do is look up for our lives to be saved. God bless Paul. Even he agrees and tells the Ephesians all about it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Hear that, friends? We are saved by faith through grace, but created for good works, which was God's intention from the beginning. Paul has been a redeeming figure in my faith journey through school. And here with the Ephesians, I think he got it just right. I don't have to dig in other letters to see if I really agree with him or not. Saved by faith, created for works. Even John says the same thing. If we do live in the light and look for the light of Jesus for salvation, then our deeds will then reflect that light back out into the world. They are not required for saving, but a product of it. And this is where we have to change our shoes. See what I did there? I told you this would be a fun trip through the shoe closet of my life. It is then, once we have come out of the snake-infested wilderness, that we need to put on the shoes that make the work the most comfortable. Our need for protection is replaced with our need for longevity. Once we have that salvation in Christ, we are then called to go out and do the work of faith. Here we go again. Can you see it? Love God in your snake boots and love your neighbor in your walking shoes. Our deeds should be done to reflect the light we now have. Our salvation does not depend on it, but the care of others and the love that we reflect does. One of my professors preached these verses in Canon Chapel on Tuesday. Reverend Dr. Beth LaRocca Pitts is a minister at Oak Grove United Methodist Church. I would normally tell you to go listen to the sermon. It was powerful. But the sound was not working on the live stream. So I'm going to read you a little of what she said. She so generously shared it with me, and I don't think it can be heard enough. She challenged us, and now I challenge you with these words. What is it about Christ that we must gaze upon to be healed of our mortality? And what honesty must we exhibit to face the things that are killing us? If these passages tell us anything, it is that we cannot be healed of that which we refuse to see. There is no healing of racism for those who do not see color. There is no healing of privilege for those who reject the very notion. There is no healing of ignorance for those who will not look for answers. If we are poisoned by these things, or any others more deadly, there is no healing for those who refuse to see that we are dying. Looking at that which is killing us is the only way to reclaim our lives. If you wish to see what is killing you so that the sight of it can bring healing, leave the darkness. Step into the light. What you see might be frightening. What you see might be shameful. But only those who step into the light and look directly at the truth will find that healing comes to those who are willing to see what Christ has come to show them. Face the truth. Face the cross. See the Son of Man lifted up. Face his death. Face your own. That is the antidote for life's poison. Look at his death and live forever. I'm rarely speechless, but her words simply made my jaw drop. Look at his death and live forever. I preach in basically three pairs of shoes. I have my trusty wedges, a newer pair of square-heeled leopard print shoes that I find very delightful, and a black pair of heels that I wear in a pinch or at a funeral. There's also a red pair, but I only bring that out for Pentecost. They all do two things for me. First, they lift me up so I can see all of you over the pulpit, just like Moses lifted up the serpent so the people can look up and be healed. It is my sincere hope that God uses me to reflect the light that I have been given by my faith from behind this pulpit. Second, they help me stand here comfortably for longer than 5 minutes and preach. And if I have to wear sensible shoes to help you see that light, then so be it. These shoes are not perching shoes. They have to be comfortable to do the work of the Lord. It is a long road to walk to go out and do the good deeds we are called to because of our faith. We need support and help and comfort, for the long life is ahead of us. And sharing the good news of Jesus, might as well be comfortable while we do it. There will be times when we have to get our snake boots out of the back of the closet, or times when the rain comes down so hard that we have to put on our muck boots to get out into the world. The snakes will still come. God did not take them away from the people of Israel, and he does not take them away from us. The flood of Noah may not be seen again, but that doesn't mean there will not be days when we feel like we are drowning. A good pair of waders with built-in boots may come in handy in times like that. God promised with the rainbow that he would not destroy the earth with a flood again, but he never promised that it wouldn't rain. What he did say was that all we have to do is look up. The Israelites had a serpent on a stick. We have the Savior on a cross who comes out of the tomb and ascends up into heaven. Just look up, so then we can go out. Amen. As we go out into the world this week, whether we have to put on our snake boots or our sensible wedges or our walking shoes or our waders, may we all walk in the light of Jesus. Because in life, in death, and life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.